This takes us to item D, the 2013 court statistics report, a summary. This is a data of caseload trends for 11-12. And I welcome here for presentation from the Office of Court Research, Mr. Christopher Bilali.
That's right. Thank you, Chief, and members of the council. My name is Chris Bilali from the Office of Court Research here at the AOC, and I'm here to provide a brief summary of some of the data that will be in the 2013 court statistics report when it will be published in a couple of weeks. And in case there's any data fatigue, I promise it will just be a high-level summary of some of the data. The court statistics report is an annual report that fulfills provisions of Article 6, Section 6 of the state constitution that requires the Judicial Council to survey the business and operations of the courts. The 2013 court statistics report will contain data for fiscal year 11-12, as well as some select 10-year caseload trends. And I'll be focusing my presentation on the statewide data, filings data from the superior courts, but the court statistics report contains data for the Supreme Court, courts of appeal, as well as detailed data for the individual superior courts. The source of the data in the court statistics report is the ACCMS and GPSIS. And ACCMS stands for the Appellate Court Case Management System and is the case management system used by the Supreme Court and courts of appeal. And we are able to extract the data for the court statistics report directly from the system. And GPSIS is a source of the data for the trial courts in the court statistics report. And I'd like to highlight briefly just some key components of GPSIS since the process is quite a bit different than ACCMS. GPSIS stands for Judicial Branch Statistical Information System. And GPSIS is authorized through Rule 10.400 of the California Rules of the Court. GPSIS was developed by working groups made up of subject matter experts from the courts. And I like to think of GPSIS as kind of the what, how, and where of trial court operational data. The what would be the data elements and the comprehensive data definitions that define for courts what to report. The how, kind of think of it as the syntax of the language. It's the accounting rules, the data mapping, all the technical specifications that direct courts how to report the GPSIS data. And the where is courts submit a series of monthly GPSIS reports to the AOC, either electronically or through a web portal. And all this data gets loaded and then mapped into a statewide data warehouse. And this is where we pull the data for the trial court for the court statistics report. And all of these components of GPSIS are critically important in ensuring the consistency, comparability, and the standardization of the data that courts report from their different case management systems. This would be the GPSIS data that courts report, the total statewide filings. In fiscal year 11-12, courts reported a total of just under 8.5 million filings statewide. And this total represents about a 9.8% decrease from the previous year. And then below, you can see the 10-year caseload trend. And I'll return to this in a moment, but I'd like to briefly provide a little additional information on that total filings number. The first bullet that says total filings not equal to workload, you know, simply underscores, I think, something we all understand, but I think still bears repeating. And that's a complex civil case is much different than a small claims matter, and a felony case is much different than a traffic infraction in terms of the complexity, workload, and court resources required to process those cases. And this is why in the workload models used by the branch, and this would be the judicial workload assessment that the Judicial Council adopted in 2001 and again in 2012, and then the resource assessment model, or RAS, that council adopted in 2006 and then was recently updated and adopted in 2013, why both of these models do not have a single workload standard that we apply total filings to. but there are many individual workload standards for the different types of cases that weight these cases based upon the different workload and court resources required to process them. I think a simple sort of example of this is if we classify all the cases, all 8.5 million cases, into two groups, the limited jurisdiction cases and the unlimited jurisdiction cases. And the limited jurisdiction cases would be the misdemeanors, infractions, the traffic cases, and criminal. And for civil, it would be limited civil and small claims case types. And then unlimited jurisdiction cases, kind of everything else, generally the much more complex types of cases, the felony, the family law, complex civil, all the juvenile cases, probate, mental health. And what we find is that the statewide decline is driven almost exclusively by the limited jurisdiction case types. About 98% of the decline that we saw last year in total filings was due to the cases of limited jurisdiction. And when we look at some of the most complex types of cases, those cases with the largest workload standard, we've actually seen an increase in filings over the past year. And this would be felony, personal injury, property damage, wrongful death, the complex civil, family law, juvenile dependency, mental health, and probate. And I think some of these trends will be a little more clear when we go through the individual case types, but I think it's important information really to have up front to put that overall filings number in better context. And I'll go ahead and return back to that statewide filing trend because I'd like to sort of talk about the impact of the budget cuts in relation to the recent trend, and I know it relates a little bit to some of the comments that the council has already made. So you can see over this 10-year trend, really a steady increase in statewide filings up to almost a historic, and I apologize for the font, almost a historic point above 10 million filings just before the budget cuts hit the branch. And then you see a sort of a decreasing trend over the last several years of ongoing cuts. And these budget cuts to the branch, as we know, obviously impacted the courts and the public in many ways. And some of this impact can be really difficult to quantify, put a number to. But when we consider, you know, the difficult decisions, I think, that many courts were forced to make as a result of the cuts on court closures, reduced hours of service, closed court rooms, and closing even entire court locations, you know, these certainly have an impact on public access to the courts, and we very well might be seeing some of that impact in this recent trend. And as the courts start to get some budget restoration, it'll be interesting to see if we also start experiencing kind of a restoration of what had been this increasing trend in filings that the courts had been reporting up until the budget cuts began. Let me turn to some of the individual case types. And for civil filings, courts reported a total of about 190,000 unlimited civil filings in fiscal year 11-12. Those personal injury cases that I said before, we had an increase of about 5% to about 52,000. Other complaints is kind of captures many different types of cases, employment, contract, collections, and lawful detainers. And those cases had about a 6% decline to a little under 138,000 filings. The limited civil and small claims cases represent about 600,000 and about 180,000 statewide filings. And both of those limited jurisdiction case types experienced a decrease, 12% and 4% respectively. And hopefully you can see the trend, the scales are different for each one of these case types. But the 10-year trend, I think if you just sort of follow the line, hopefully that will provide enough information. For unlimited civil, the personal injury cases, after a sort of a big declining trend initially, the trend in filings has been pretty steady in that case type, with a slight uptick, as I mentioned, in the last fiscal year. For the next two case types, the other unlimited civil and the limited civil, you see sort of similar patterns, similar to the statewide trend where you had pretty dramatic increasing filings up until the last couple of years, kind of coinciding with the statewide budget cuts. And we've seen a declining trend over the past several years. And small claims has been a pretty consistent sort of steady decline in the statewide filings for that case type. For criminal filings for 2011-12, felony cases increased slightly last year to about 243,000 cases. Misdemeanor filings were a little over 1 million statewide, with about 400,000 cases being non-traffic and about 650,000 traffic. And both of those case types experienced pretty significant declines, 20% and 15%. And criminal infractions, the vast majority of which are traffic cases, totaled about 5.6 million cases in fiscal year 11-12, and that was about a 10% decrease from the previous year. And then the 10-year trends for these four case types, you can see a sort of a slight cyclical trend in the felony cases, and it looks like it's leveling off and is starting to increase again, at least in this past year. And then the trend for both of the misdemeanor case types as well as infractions over the last 10 years are fairly similar, a sort of an increasing trend over the first half. And then for all three of those case types, a decrease in the number of statewide filings over the second part of that 10-year trend. For family and juvenile, there are two family law case types in the court statistics report. Marital cases had an increase of about 4% to a total of 160,000 statewide filings. The other petitions captures adoption, paternity, domestic violence, child support, and there was about a 5% decline in filing statewide to about 277,000 statewide filings. Delinquency and dependency, juvenile combined, there were about 100,000 filings. Delinquency had a pretty significant decrease of 14% last year to 62,000. And dependency at about 39,000 filings, a very small increase, less than 1% for last year. And the 10-year trends, the both family law and juvenile dependency trends are all fairly stable over the 10 years. Dependency and marital are up. The petitions are down slightly. Delinquency, over the first half of the period, you see a slight increasing trend. And then over the past 4 or 5 years, a pretty significant decline in the number of statewide filings. One of the things that we found in our 2012 judicial workload assessment is the amount of time that was reported on delinquency cases and the workload standard increased significantly in 2012 than what we found back in 2001 in the original study. So while cases, juvenile delinquency cases, might be trending down a little bit, certainly the complexity and the workload of those cases are quite a bit higher now than what we found at the beginning of this 10-year trend. For mental health probate appeals and criminal habeas filings, mental health sort of stands out as a pretty significant increase, 11% to about 20,000 filings. Probate also increased slightly, 1% to a little under 43,000. And appeals and criminal habeas at 5,000 and about 8,500 cases respectively had fairly small increases in filings over the previous year. And in terms of the 10-year trend, mental health, again, it sort of stands out as being a pretty significant and growing caseload for courts over the past 10 years. The other three case types, again, some slight differences, but generally a stable trend over the past 10 years in those three types of cases. The next steps, as I mentioned, we're in the process of finalizing the court statistics report, and we'll be publishing the 2013 report later in the next couple of weeks on the California Courts public website, and we'll be coordinating with the Office of Communications on its release. We've developed a new series of reports. We call them mini CSRs. It's because they have the same sort of look and feel as the court statistics report, the same trend data and graphics that we publish on a statewide basis. But we have one of these reports for each one of the individual trial courts. So we'll be providing these courts to, or these reports to trial court leadership, so they can use these reports to sort of monitor the caseload trends in their court. And we'll be working with Jody and Nancy to provide these courts to the Judicial Council members as part of their liaison function. We feel like these reports will be a valuable tool in understanding some of the workload and unique issues to their court. And finally, we've just finished the fiscal year 2012-2013 period, which means we'll be beginning the data quality control process for next year's 2014 report. It's a collaborative, multi-stage process with the courts. It involves a series of data quality control reports and technical assistance and training for courts as needed. And our goal is to have the next year's 2013 report available early next year so that the data can be used earlier on as part of the budget development process. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Judge Rosenberg.
Thank you for that very informative report. I do have a question and a concern, perhaps a concern. It's one thing to present the statistics, but it's another thing to engage in a subjective analysis or conclusions based on the statistics. And I don't know whether the report will just lay out statistics or will delve into the conclusions or analysis. And I'll tell you one example of what I'm talking about. You had indicated the numbers in juvenile delinquency show a pretty dramatic drop in filings in the delinquency area. And then you voiced today a conclusion or an assumption that while the numbers have dropped, the complexity of cases in juvenile delinquency has increased. And so judges are spending more time on that. I would not leap to that conclusion at all. I think, but I may be wrong, I think that the reason that numbers have dropped is because juvenile delinquency cases are completely dependent upon DAs that file cases. And I suspect that DAs are filing fewer juvenile delinquency cases because they have shifted their resources into other areas, such as felonies. I think it's a shifting of resources. And I think while there may be fewer cases in the courts, my suspicion is that PJs have not taken judges out of juvenile delinquency in any significant degree, and maybe judges are spending more time on cases because they now have more time, not necessarily due to complexity. So the question is, how much analysis, conclusions, and assumptions are going to be provided in this report, or will it be limited to statistics?
Thank you. The court statistics reports really primarily a reference document, so a presentation of the data and various information to help understand the data. It's not, and it never has been, a sort of a piece to sort of qualify or to further add context or explanation to that data. We'll be working with communications, and I imagine that the executive leadership team will be sort of working on providing the public and our branches of government sort of that contextual information so they can better understand the meaning behind the numbers. But the report itself is just really a presentation, a reference document for the numbers.
Judge O'Malley, then Judge Kaufman.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Pololi, thank you very much for that report, and I just think these statistics are very helpful. In not only for the council, but also for courts in general, and how to make their allocations and what's happening with filings. I have one question, and it's if your research in any way has revealed or can reveal in the future any correlation between the reduced filings, especially in the misdemeanor and traffic, because that's where we saw really a major reduction, with the reductions in law enforcement. So I know that, okay, there's everybody. All right, hold on. I know that in Contra Costa County, during that period of time, 11, 12, even 2010, every single police agency was suffering from substantial reductions. And we noted that, you know, there were fewer cases coming in from the DA's office. We asked the DA's office, what's going on? Do you have a big stack somewhere that you haven't gotten to that the courts have to worry about, that all of a sudden we're going to get, you know, 5,000 filings over the weekend because you're behind? And they said, no, law enforcement's not bringing them in. And I know that, you know, not only our sheriff's department, but every other agency. And, of course, you read in the headlines, you know, on a weekly basis, those law enforcement agencies trying to get more money from their counties to hire more officers on the street. And they're not making the arrests because they don't have the officers out there. And I just can't help but wonder that it's not that crime is going down, and I think we want to be very careful about this reduction in this statistic that we're seeing, is that there aren't as many officers that need to be on the streets that are out there enforcing the laws that are able to make those arrests. So, again, I know that you are overburdened, and I thank you so much for these accurate statistics, but is there any way that we can look into that aspect when we see such a drastic reduction in caseloads, such as the misdemeanor filings and traffic and non-traffic, that we can somehow look at those other statistics to maybe account for that rather than make a wild speculation?
Sure. And you know, certainly the activity of our justice system partners impacts the work that comes to the courts. And the budget cuts, you know, not only have impacted public access to the courts, they've impacted some of those partners, particularly the criminal justice partners.
And I think that may have something to do with the juvenile delinquency drop in caseload as well. Mm-hmm.
Judge Kaufman.
You know, first of all, I've been here for 3 years, and O'Malley and Rosenberg are just beating everybody to the punch. I think they should be called last.
I'll keep that in mind.
Please keep that in mind. No, seriously, and I agree with Marianne, and I agree with Dave Rosenberg. And let me give you the numbers, because it really makes the point. And in a small county, it's interesting, because it's only two law enforcement agencies. One's CHP, the other one's the local sheriff. And the numbers change, but at the high heyday, we had about 25, 27 CHP officers for the county. And we have a county that geographically is bigger than the state of Rhode Island, okay? All right, and so we had, and at the heyday, the Sheriff's office had 37 sworn officers. We're now down to 25. In effect, we have like 14 officers. So we went from like 62 law enforcement officers patrolling the whole county, and we're now down to probably about 30, okay, at give or take a little. All right, so why are there fewer arrests? There's fewer officers. So what we're seeing is the crimes, the juvenile crimes, the de minimis juvenile crimes that we would prosecute before are not being arrested. The misdemeanors, the misdemeanors, and I don't mean to make light of them, are not being arrested. There's no officers. But as just Judge Jacobs and I have talked over the last years, crime hasn't changed. The shoplifting at the local Safeway is still the same, okay? It's just that there's less arrests. When there's less arrests, there's less cases. But what we're seeing is the higher grade felonies are still being prosecuted, and in more of them. And so I think it would be nice to get this information next to every county's law enforcement statistics. Yeah. All right, and I'm just talking about the criminal. I'm not talking about anything else. And because there's less arrests, the dependency filings are going up because the parents, you know, are doing what they do, and there's no criminal action. So these statistics are when you interpret them appropriately and you put all the information together, are very fascinating. So it's not us. It's lack of law enforcement.
And social services also took a hit with regard to the dependency cases. So there were fewer social services officers to go out and do home inspections and to create reports.
And I think the same applies to mental health. There's a reduction in mental health services, which means that more of them are showing up in the court.
Alan Carlson.
Before Chris gets too anxious about what we're asking him to do. I think what he was saying earlier is this report just says these are the numbers.
Correct.
What that means is there's a lot of other things that need to be added to do that, but I don't think we can expect Chris's shop to put all that stuff together. But I think when we publish the report, we need to be careful to say these are just the basic numbers. We're not providing any explanation here, and there are a lot of potential explanations, what we've heard today about doing that.
Yeah. We just don't want a position where we're saying our workload has decreased, and therefore we don't need money to solve the problem. I mean, they're opposite.
Yeah, but I would be real cautious about wanting to say going to get information from law enforcement. Well, believe me, we have enough troubles getting consistent, accurate information across the courts. I mean, that's why it takes them so long to produce the report. It's a whole lot more work, same kind, to try and get consistent information out of law enforcement of what's going on. So I would say we should be careful when we say, here's the numbers, but don't jump to any conclusions about this. This is complicated somehow. But the filings are, in fact, down. Our workload is, in fact, down in terms of filings.
But, you know, I want to say, but this is a snapshot. It's a snapshot in time of pretty unique circumstances, frankly, in California, as described across the board sociologically here. I want to point out that, you know, the branch has to be stable. We saw those spikes. You can't fund us based on a year trend. You know, we develop programs. They become better with time. They require time to develop. They're usually almost always responsive to a particular community. And as a branch, we have to be able to sustain the trend. And so, to me, looking at this is instructive and useful, but I concur that the different circumstances are varied, and it's a snapshot, at least of this trend.
No, I was going to add that, you know, that's exactly right, and that's why the workload models that the council approved use a three-year average, and that's exactly right, because you do not want to sort of make a policy or a budget decision based upon that snapshot in time because of the sort of the trend that might be happening.
One final thought. This report is going to be very revealing and very interesting. I agree with everything that's been said, but at some point, either the chief or a distinguished panel of judges or someone needs to put some analysis on this because it does affect the administration of our justice system. You know, we can't just put the report out there and say, okay, there it is. I think it's important enough to analyze and speak to what the report does show.
Alan Carlson.
Yeah, for example, adding the workload factor, your point about filings doesn't equal workload is, so do we have 10-year graphs that show applying weighted caseload and the WAFM model things to say, okay, here's what the filings look over 10 years, but here's what the workload looks like for judges and for staff would go a long ways to say, you know, both the issue of jumping up and down, and maybe the filings are down, but the workload isn't necessarily down as much as the straight filing number would show. I mean, an infraction is a couple of minutes, and a felony is 300 or 400 minutes of time. So a 1% increase in felonies could completely overshadow 100,000 drop in infractions.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Judge Ellsworth.
So, for example, in a family law context, let's just say for an example, it may well be that filings are down, but we have spent 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 7 minutes on cases that should have taken 45 minutes and 50 minutes. We all know that. We have the legal speak, the court speak, the judicial counsel speak. I do think that this is information that can be used as a sword against us unless there's interpretation and not backpedaling, but just an explanation of different things. And it is clear to me, it helped me as a presiding judge, for example, to make a hard decision that I unfortunately had to make. I shut down a juvenile court because I looked at the reality of what the filings are. So it was helpful to me as a tool for crisis management and triaging. But for long-term planning, it's important for us to somehow educate those that would use this against us in terms of what these statistics can mean and what they may be correlated to.
Put it in context.
Yeah, context.
Judge Kaufman?
I think you said it, but I think that it would be wise to put you and Peter Allen and Corey Jasperson and a couple of judges together and craft an appropriate response or appropriate introduction explaining what this really means so that it can be used. Mm-hmm. We can put the spin on that we think it is appropriate and decide where to go next.
Yeah.
Justice Baxter.
Yes, I appreciate the report, and I have no criticism at all. Just as a matter of curiosity, I know that the Office of Court Research exists, and I know that statistics are prepared, but to what extent is there judicial input or court executive officer input in terms of the type of statistics that might be most relevant to the branch? Is there any type of advisory committee that your office works with to ascertain what specific information would be the most helpful for the presiding judges of the state? What's the nature of the communication between the office and the judges and court executive officers of the state?
We work with the Court Executive Advisory Committee on updates to the GPSIS kind of reporting standards, the court statistics report, any changes to the way that we map, present, or publish that information, and have provided periodic updates to that body as we have an ongoing sort of refinement to the GPSIS system and the reporting of our branch-wide statistics.
So, Chris, just speaking in terms of the timeline, there's been a suggestion that instead of just putting out this report cold that would leave everyone else to try to guess the tea leaves, that maybe it have an introduction of some sort. And if so, then it's been mentioned that Peter Allen work with the chairs of the internal committees, I'm throwing that part in, to come up with a very objective but sobering statement of what this isn't, mm-hmm. and how it should be viewed and used, and the careful considerations that we think might accompany it, but we're not opining on it. So your timeline is, when would you post this? There's no time frame, right?
So our plan, we're doing some final electronic sort of features to the electronic version. So it would be ready in the next week or so. But we could sort of delay that or coordinate that with any other activity with the Office of Communications and the Executive Office.
Thank you.
Is this posted yet?
No.
And Chief, we could. There's no real timeline with any of this, as Chris has mentioned. There is an upcoming PJ Court Exec statewide meeting as well that we can work with David as well as Judge Earl on to ensure that we have the appropriate message accompanying the report when it's released. And I do, if I can just take a second and add in reference to Justice Baxter's question, Chris and his staff work very, very closely, and there's a lot of interaction with every single court up and down the state when they submit these reports. And prior to the publication of the reports that Chris and his team have been responsible for, they also do site visits, especially as they see anomalies with regard to varying trends on a court-by-court basis. And so the interaction, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but it's not directly with the presiding judge, but it is with the court executives and their key staff who manage the data for each and every court in the state. So there's like this auditing process, mm-hmm. if I can call it that, that is very, very significant before we finalize anything. And there is this interactive process with court executive officers to ensure that before it's publicized, they are comfortable with what is being reported for their respective court as well.
No, that's exactly right.
But the numbers shouldn't change at all. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. You've got it, and it'll be published appropriately. But I think the chief's suggestion is right on. An intro work done by judicial officers and CEOs that indicate the substance behind those numbers. I mean, someone could look at the numbers just facially and say, wow, look, workload is going down because the numbers are going down. There could be a dozen different misinterpretations based on raw numbers. And so that info is real important.
Judge O'Malley. So I understand that this report is required and certain statistics need to be revealed. And so his office obviously has to work on those reports where we're required and mandated to turn in that information. I would kind of go along with Justice Baxter to say, is there any room for other research that might be helpful to presiding judges that could be done by the office? And if there are so many things that were mandated to report that there's just no room to be able to squeeze in anything else, I understand that. But I take Justice Baxter to say, you know, what are you researching? What are all the different things? And maybe some of those can change, or maybe some of those, what's the input from courts about what's going to help them? Now, this obviously does. This helps tremendously, as Judge Ellsworth has mentioned, as PJ, and I found the information helpful as presiding judge as well. But there may be other areas that are relevant to courts that the Office of Research can help with as well. And I'd ask that maybe we get some sort of input to see how that could be done.
And a point very well taken, Judge O'Malley. I've had a few discussions with Chris, Leah, as well as Dag McLeod with regard to the GPSIS reporting, and we fully recognize that there are areas that can be updated in today's world, and as our world continues to change and we have different fluctuations. We've had discussions about pulling together a mini task force comprised of judges and court execs. It is a matter of having sufficient resources, and that's something that we are working with Judge Jarr to address as it relates to the Office of Court Research. But it's on our to-do list. We've had discussions about that as well, mm-hmm. to make it current and more relevant to the presiding judges and trial court leadership.
Absolutely.
Allow me to underscore the point that Jody just made. It's so easy for us focusing on the substantive issues that have obviously been highlighted and importantly highlighted by this presentation to lose sight of the resources that go to assemble and construct these materials. Our Office of Court Research, as everyone knows, in both of its principal areas of activity has been magnificent in, and I don't mind saying so, in its discharge of its duties. But the fact is that with the resources that it has been provided to do its work, to do the things that I absolutely agree with Judge O'Malley ought to be done, it's a serious resource issue that all council members have to address. This work is specialized work involving specially trained folks, and I, for one, am very grateful for their fine work, but I know that the rubber band is stretched to the max. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Chief. And as was already stated, you know, folks refer to statistics as workload, and in many scenarios, it's misunderstood. It's just filings, and there's a great deal of energy and resources that are involved with actually adjudicating a lot of these cases. And, you know, our limitation is in statistics. We don't have sophisticated case management systems that provide us the level of detail that we need. But as was mentioned by Judge Ellsworth, it can be used against us in some fashion. I think it would be helpful for us to invest resources in a way that we can at least capture true workload. And I know that the SB 56 working group is working to try to define workload. And I would just offer that I know that the court execs would be very, very willing to help out in any way possible, because I think it would result in additional resources if people really understood what it took or what it takes to process some of the cases that we have. So we welcome the opportunity to participate in that venture.
Judge Ellsworth and Alan Carlson.
So is the data that you're talking about, David, which I think is really critical, is it would it be delaying this piece that we have before us so long that it would not be relevant to be able to release them at the same time, or are we too far out on that other information?
Well, my feeling is this report has to get out. I don't know that we'd have to examine the ability and the resources for the workload study, so, and SB 56 is such an essential
So then my the second point, and I think, is just that introduction, and I view it with Peter Allen and the heads of the internal committees. I think that's a great group to make that statement that can make a reference to that or other things. So I think that we do need to be part of the transparency, and we need to put it out there. We also have to be part of the education piece as well.
Helen?
I would just say, in terms of the idea of a context that we might give, that certainly on the criminal side, we've seen a flood of articles recently on FBI statistics that have been released. So we know, for example, at the same time that misdemeanor filings are down in our county, at the same time the Oakland Police Department is about 30% off on its workforce, and the property crime rate in Oakland, which a lot of those are misdemeanors, is up 22%.
Yeah.
So those are things that are very available, easily accessible. We could get at those things right away. And which begins to explain what the meaning is. At the same time, I think we could probably show very easily that the Oakland Police Department continues to devote large amount of their resources to trying to solve homicide cases. And the homicide filings have not gone down. We spend a lot of time in our court on murder, not so much time on the smaller cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, separate from the introduction, I think there's certainly a lot of fertile ground for talking points on this, separate from the introduction, because those seem quite relevant to particular counties and the interest that will be generated in your community, and you'll be asked about those things. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, you've given us a lot to think about.
You've given
been
me
very
a lot
productive.
To think about.
We know much work went into this, and we appreciate it all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This concludes our regularly scheduled business meeting. We will have our next meeting August, that is the 22nd and 23rd. With no new business, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.